you expect a daddy?
You're welcome.
First off, let me start off by, is this on? Okay. Let me start off by thanking those of you who prayed for me this morning. I 10 minutes ago, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get up. And those prayers got through. Thank you. But thank you for those who prayed that the message that I would bring, that the Spirit has given me today, would, as Ryan said, that it would penetrate open hearts and spirits and minds. Principles versus pleasures. Let's read together from the book of James. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. There are three things that are eternal: God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God existed before there was ever time, and he will exist as long as for eternity. Now, I don't know exactly how long that is, but I have a feeling in our human reference, it's a long time. The next thing is the Word of God, Scripture, the Bible. That will never change, and it will never perish. But the third thing is men's souls. We have eternal destiny, either to heaven, where we will be present with God, have joy inexpressible, or to hell, where there will be separation from our eternal God and eternal torment. In Genesis 1:26, it says that man was created in the image of God. And in Colossians 3:10, it says that when we put on the new man, we are being renewed after the image of the Creator. A holy God desires that we should all pursue being holy. How? As human beings created in God's image, did the world convince us that the God-given principles or precepts that we need to pursue holiness and right living are wrong and risk perishing for eternity in hell? How did that happen? Sit down and watch TV for a little while. And watch the commercials. What do they encourage? Sensuality, sexual misconduct, more desiring idols instead of God. Psalm 37, written by a man who should give us a great example of what happens when we pursue pleasure over principles. When we let lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the heart entice us to go away from the principles, the precepts of a holy God. And in David's case, it even led to the death of a child. Pretty extreme. But not for a holy and just God. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked. For he sees that his day is coming. The world tries to convince us through every means possible to seek pleasures, such as material things and sexual pleasures outside the bounds of ordained marriage. As you watch the television advertisements, you can see how successful these campaigns are. And I'm not picking on you ladies, but as you look around, and not here, but as you travel around the city, the malls, look around and look at the sensual dress. Pleasure is the desire for immediate self-gratification. Quite simply, the desire for pleasure drives a person not only to seek pleasure, but to avoid pain. Sometimes that pain is physical, emotional. Sometimes it's the pain of waiting for delayed gratification, for seeking the Lord first and letting Him provide. Pleasure-driven people defer self-gratification based on biblical values, but we prefer to live a life with God's spiritual principles and values. God-based principles do not let people be governed by the desire for pleasure or self-gratification at all cost, but those precepts, those principles, we can take into our hearts, and it leads us in the pursuit of righteousness and holiness. One of the greatest American theologians, Jonathan Edwards, taught that we could only be saved and improved by God's grace to God's glory. But the secular humanist, the secular humanist world tries to convince people otherwise. They tell us that we're good people, that we don't need God. We only need our own self-acceptance and our own self-love, and that we should please ourselves first and be concerned about how others view us and the things that they think about us. They tell us that the truth is what we deem it to be, and that our hope is not in God, but in our own self-sufficiency. This could also be equated to what Satan would have us believe, that sin is okay if it makes you feel good. The world says anything goes if it makes you feel good. Seek pleasure and self-gratification. But the Apostle John in 1 John 15 through 17 tells us not to love the world or the pleasures of the world, and that our hope should not be in the world, but in the God who abides forever. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Joy and I watched a delightful and encouraging movie Thursday night on Netflix. The movie was called Grace Unplugged, and thank you, Rich Paris, as he was looking for a copy for his family, he got us a copy so we'd have it permanent. It's a story of a young Christian girl who let her desire for pleasure, for fame, for independence cause her to forsake her family and her church. Let me read you the editorial review from Focus on the Family. Having just turned 18, Grace Trey, portrayed by A.J. Machalka, aspires to more than just singing at her church, where the worship leader is her father, who was played by James Denton, a former pop star. With the help of her dad's former manager, Grace runs away to Los Angeles and begins to taste the kind of stardom she's always dreamed about. Yet with each rung of the ladder she climbs, Grace feels more and more pressure to compromise her values, further straining her relationship with her parents, church. Will everything she experienced lead her to reject her faith or rediscover it? Now, I'm not going to answer that question because then you wouldn't want to see the movie. With a star-studded cast, inspiring soundtrack, amazing musical performances, Grace Unplugged, and I agree with this 100%, is a heartwarming film that entertains while bringing families closer together. I guarantee you, if you have children or grandchildren, this is a wonderful movie for you to watch. Temptations, lies, enticements all come from the father of lies, Satan. A lot of the time by worldly enticements and untruth in the world that he promotes to get us to fall away or to be led astray. The world wants to convince us there's many paths to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. In the book of James, James gives us the formula for the crown of life. The scripture we keynoted earlier this morning, James 1, emphasizes pursuing godly principles and striving for holiness instead of giving in to the temptations of worldly pleasures. The implanted word, Jesus Christ, is the only path for our salvation, and our eternal destiny with him in heaven. Excuse me. I guess I should cough the other way because the mic is on this side. The Christian is justified, declared righteous before a holy God by the crucifixion and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, when through faith they sincerely accept his atoning sacrifice for their sins. When we declare Jesus our personal Savior and turn from our sins and ask forgiveness, at that point, we become an heir to the kingdom of heaven. Our eternal destiny with Christ is secured. After salvation, our responsibility to pursue holiness and righteousness, not to be saved, okay, but out of love for the one who saved us. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:8, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, those who have not professed faith with genuine repentance are bound by the law that God has implanted in their hearts, in their consciences, which no man can keep perfectly. When those who have rejected Christ, those whose desires for worldly pleasure, let it rule and control their lives, appear in God's proverbial courtroom, the verdict is going to be guilty. And the sentence will be eternity in the torments of hell. God himself says in Exodus 23:7 that he will not acquit the wicked. Although Christians have their salvation assured, willful sins, that desire for worldly pleasures that are against the precepts and principles of God, they affect our relationship. They affect our relationship with Christ and will affect our heavenly rewards. Christians need to deal ruthlessly with the core sin areas of our lives. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes or greed, and the pride of life. I want to encourage everyone to seek the Lord more diligently, to steer clear of willful sin. But at the same time, when we do stumble, when we do fall, not to feel condemned and hopeless, especially when we become conscious of our imperfections, conscious of the things that the Spirit brings to mind that we have done against the will of God. There's a beauty in the fact that God gives us time to repent. That's part of his wonderful mercy and grace. William Jones, captain of the Marines in the Providence, which was a 28-gun frigate, then at Boston Harbor, advertised in the March 20th, 1779, Providence, Rhode Island Gazette, the need for a few good men. Went on to say, to engage in a short cruise. And it gave the Marine Corps a recruiting slogan that it would still be using over 200 years later. Friends, let me tell you, God is looking for a few good men and women who are willing to go against the current of popular opinion, to hold firm principles in a world that says anything goes, to speak the truth when it's not politically correct, to walk with God when everyone else is running away from him. God is looking for those who believe that what he says is more important than what anyone else says. That what he thinks is more important than what anyone else thinks. That what he wants is more important than what anyone else wants. And that his will is more important than their own. That the truth is paramount. And that his truth is the only real truth. Not what the world would have you believe, that whatever you feel is your truth. God is looking for another Noah, another Meshach, another Shadrach, another Abednego. God is looking for a person who will forsake the pleasures of this world for the principles that God has laid out in his holy word, the Bible. Let me ask you a question. And this should be a fairly easy question to answer, but a question that when you do answer it, if your answer is yes, you better mean it. Will it be you? I don't know what happened here. I'm supposed to go back. There we go. Will it be you? Will you step up to the plate? Will you be one of those who said, above all else, I will follow you? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will we stumble? Every day. Will he pick us back up? Every time. But I am a firm believer that regardless of what the world throws at us, what enticements, what desires of the world says this should be what you should have more. You should have a bigger car, a bigger house. You should try to impress your neighbors. I love my neighbors, but if I impress them, I want to impress them with the fact that I am trying my very best to live a godly life. So will it be you? I'd like to invite the praise team to come back up, and then we will close with benediction and prayer. Thank you, Chuck. You know, when we are distracted in our lives by things around us, we used to sing a song, I go to the rock. I go to the rock. And that rock is our strength. That's where we can go. When we come to Christ and we just say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be with you. Let's stand, shall we? Old familiar song, number 404, The Solid Rock. We're going to do verse 1 and verse 4.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
For closing prayer, I'm going to plagiarize. You're warned ahead of time. One of the greatest prayers in all of Scripture, the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul from Ephesians. And it's my heart that is praying this for you and for me. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, and according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God.